And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Command the children of Israel that they bring unto thee pure oil olive beaten for the light, to cause the lamps to burn continually in the tabernacle of the congregation. And it shall be a statute forever in your generations.
The Eternal Light, the National Broadcasting Company and its affiliated independent stations present The Eternal Light, a program which comes to you under the auspices of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America. Today's program, written by Seymour Wright, is entitled The Song of Deborah.
My name is Deborah. I'm old now, very old and very tired. You wouldn't think it to look at me. But once I led a great army of Israel into battle. Yes, many years ago, I carried a shield and a sword and wore proud armor. It was the armor of a warrior, but it hid the heart of a lonely, frightened woman.
Hear, O ye kings, give ear, O ye princes. I will sing unto the Lord. I will sing praise to the Lord God of Israel. In the days of Shamgar, the son of Anath, in the days of Jael, the highways were unoccupied, and the travelers walked through byways. The inhabitants of the villages ceased. They ceased in Israel, until that I, Deborah, arose, that I arose a mother in Israel.
When I was young, before the battle of which I speak, my name was known even then throughout the land. For I was a judge and a prophetess. I lived with my children and my husband, Labadoth, in a pleasant grove of palms between Ramah and Bethel, and the people came to me for judgment. I gave counsel, made decisions, and offered help and comfort wherever I could.
I want my rights, nothing more.
Well, what of my rights? Must my family starve in order to satisfy you?
Oh. Please, each in turn.
It's a very simple matter, Deborah. Isaac's field is next to mine. Now, there's a stream that crosses my land, a little stream, hardly more than a trickle. The rains have been slow and the land is dry. I need every drop of water I can get, but Isaac wants to dam the stream to provide water for his oxen.
But how can my oxen live without water?
That's not my concern. Look, I'm a poor man, my own beast of burden. All I take into the field are these hands and this back.
Isaac, is there a well on your land?
Yes, Deborah, but it is nearly dry. There's barely enough water for my household, let alone the oxen.
Oxen? If you can't keep them, sell them.
But I'm an old man, Ephraim. I cannot work in the fields with my hands like you do.
I'm sorry, the stream belongs to me.
Isaac, Ephraim. Instead of fighting, why don't you share your strength? Help each other.
I don't understand.
You need water from Ephraim's stream. He has no oxen of his own. Perhaps in return for the water, you will allow him to use your oxen to help him plow.
Oh, well, What do you say to that, Ephraim?
It makes sense. I would be willing, Isaac.
So would I. Of course, we would have to arrange set times for you to use the oxen and for me to use the water.
There was much suffering at that time, for Israel was under the heel of a tyrant, Jabin, the king of Canaan. His captain was Sisera, a cruel and violent man with a strong army and many chariots. And for 20 years, he ravaged the land.
Open up!
Who is it?
Tax collector, open the door.
There must be some mistake. We paid our taxes just a few days ago.
How's the last week's taxes? This week's 2 more denarii, or half a talent of grain.
2 more? But we have no money and barely enough grain to last us the winter.
Do you defy the edict of the king of Canaan?
No, of course not, but...
Guards, through the house and seize everything of value.
Wait, you cannot. You don't understand.
Where are you taking him? Where are you taking my son?
To the mines to work. He's indentured to Sisera.
The mines? But he's only 12 years old.
Don't worry, he'll age quickly enough when he gets there.
Oh, no, you can't take him, please.
Get out of the way, I have my orders.
No, don't take him away!
Day after day, year after year, Sisera's terror walked the land. And everywhere the people went in fear. As for me, because of my high position, my family and I were left in peace. So we sojourned quietly in our pleasant grove of palms near Ramah and Bethel. And no harm came to us. But I knew of the suffering, and I wept for Israel. What more could I do? You wish to hear of the battle? Oh, yes. I remember it quite clearly. These days with Lebedeth dead, and my children gone to homes of their own, I have little else to do but remember. It began, I suppose, the day that Aaron of Kedesh came to see.
Peace be with you, Deborah.
Aaron, peace be with you. It's been a long while since your last visit.
At my age, my dear Deborah, the years are a heavy burden to carry even on the shortest of journeys.
Well, what brings you here now? A quarrel with your neighbor? A dispute over lands, perhaps? Or a flock of sheep?
No. Something much more serious.
Something serious?
A man named Sisera.
I sit in judgment on the people of Israel, not on Sisera.
Deborah, if this man continues, there will be no people of Israel.
We've suffered him for almost 20 years and managed to survive.
Yes, but each year it grows worse, and each year we get weaker. Our sons are taken away. Our wealth is drained. Whole villages are deserted, and our people live in the hills like beasts. Little by little, Jabin and Sisera are destroying us. Can't you see that?
Yes, of course. I see it, and it frightens me. What will happen to us, Aaron? What will happen to Israel?
There is still time. We can still save ourselves, but the tribes refuse to act. Sisera's agents play one against the other. They promise special favors. They fill the air with rumors and suspicion. They do everything they can to keep us divided and helpless.
Why do you tell me what I already know? What can I do?
You can rally the tribes and unite them against Canaan.
But I'm not a king or a soldier. Why come to me?
Because you're a judge of Israel, loved and trusted by the people. You're the only one who can make them listen and act.
Aaron, you ask too much. What you have in mind, uniting the tribes, calls for great strength. The strength of a man.
No, Deborah, the strength of the Lord.
I don't know. It's strange you're coming here today.
Why? What are you thinking of?
I'm thinking of a vision I had last night. It was a sort of dream. Yet, not a dream. And in it, I seemed to hear a voice. And it said, awake. Awake, Deborah. Awake. Utter a song. Arise and lead thy captivity captive.
Perhaps your voice was the same which summoned me.
Perhaps.
How will you answer it, Deborah? With deeds or tears?
No. No, not tears. Not anymore. God willing, I'll do as you say, Aaron. Summon the kings of each tribe. Call the princes, all of them. Issachar, Barak, Haber, Gilead, Zebulun, Reuben, Asher, Naphtali.
Yes. That's how it all began. Aaron of Kadesh sent swift messengers to each of the tribes. And soon my lovely, quiet palm grove, the heart of my safe little world, was filled with the noise and confusion of a great encampment.
Deborah, what foolishness is this? How can we oppose Sisera's army?
Do you consider it foolishness for us to want our freedom?
No, of course not. But we're not prepared for this venture.
I agree with Haber. Sisera has 900 chariots and we have none. People of my tribe are farmers. Can they oppose trained soldiers with their scythes and plowshares? And
besides, if we try to resist, it will only make matters worse. They'll take revenge, and we'll suffer all the more. It's best to leave things as they are.
But, Haber, don't you see? This is the trap of tyranny. For 20 years, we've left things as they are. And each minute, we bleed more of our strength away.
No, I want no part of this. It can only end in one way, death and defeat. Israel is not strong enough to fight, not now.
Barak, what do you say to Haber's argument?
The people of Haber's tribe are shepherds. I say he's lived so long among his flocks, he's become a sheep himself.
What?
Deborah, is this why you summoned me, to be insulted by a fool?
Better a fool than an old man who trembles in fear of Sisera.
Barak, Haber, this is no way. Hear me, all of you, kings and princes of Israel. The time to fight is now, before it is too late. The tribe of Barak stands with Deborah against Canaan.
My time is up. We'll do it.
When everything was said and done, Barak stayed, and with him the tribes of Issachar, Zebulun, and Naphtali, in all a host of 10,000 men. Many refused to join us, but those who did were strong and without fear. From every part of the land they came, from the olive groves, the harbors, the fields, and the villages. From everywhere they came, with a single purpose, to make Israel free.
Deborah, our men are encamping on the plain of Zaanayan. Some have brought their own weapons with them, and other weapons are being forged as quickly as possible.
I wish we needed more weapons for more men. Our army is badly outnumbered.
With the help of God, we'll prevail, Aaron.
Yes, with the help of God.
Varric, you're troubled. Is anything wrong?
No. All that is... Well, I've been thinking of what Haber said about Sisera's chariots. 900 of them. And each one carries an archer with 40 arrows. Maybe Haber's right. Our people have never fought against such an army. Perhaps when we meet him on the plain, Sisera will scatter us like chaff in the wind.
Then why not meet him where his strength will be of little use?
What do you mean?
Instead of waiting on the plain, our army can gather on the slopes of Mount Tabor. It's steep and rocky there. Even if Sisera had 900 chariots, they would be useless on that kind of battleground.
Varric, the idea has merit.
Merit? Why, it's a wonderful idea. Hey, now that I think of it, there's a bend of the River Kishon which flows around the north slope of Mount Tabor. If we can draw Sisera's army into the right position, we can drive him into the river. Chariots and all. The way I see it, we can show ourselves at first and then pretend to retreat. Part of our men will wait in ambush. After we lure him into the trap, we can close in from several directions.
Varric was fired with enthusiasm for the new scheme. For many days, he conferred with his captains and planned the details of battle. As for me, I was quite ready to return to my peaceful grove of palms. Battles were for men, and my work was finished at last. Or, so I thought.
Gilead, come in, come in. I've been waiting for you.
I came as quickly as I could, Haber. Your messenger said it was urgent.
Very urgent.
Varric, huh?
Gathering an army at Zaanayim. 10,000 untrained farmers and fishermen. Some who've never seen a battle in their lives. To fight against Sisera's 50,000 soldiers and 900 chariots.
Varric and Deborah are insane. They'll destroy themselves.
And all the rest of us, Gilead.
What do you mean?
When Sisera finishes with Varric's army, he'll turn on our tribes.
But we've denounced Varric. The Canaanites know that.
Do you think it will matter to a man like Sisera? This is what he's been waiting for. Our only hope lies in preventing a battle.
Well, how can we do that? Varric's a fool, but he's a stubborn one. We'll never be able to discourage him.
No, we'll never be able to dissuade Varric. But what about his men?
His men?
No captain can fight without an army. Our problem is to destroy it, to cut the ground from under him before it's too late.
Well, how are we going to do that? With words?
Yes, Gilead, the right kind of words. We can send trusted men of our own tribes, carefully picked, into Varric's ranks. Outwardly, they'll be no different from all the others, but their mission will be to sow doubt and fear. We can confuse his soldiers, weaken their morale, get them to desert. It's the only way we can stop Varric and save our own necks.
It might work at that.
It will work, Gilead. Now, according to my idea, we'll choose our best men.
So Haber's plan was launched. Unknown to Varric or myself, his men entered our camp, the Zaanayan, and slowly the poison began to spread.
We're outnumbered. Our weapons are inferior. It's hopeless.
But Deborah had a vision just the other night. She told us she saw the Canaanites in retreat. We were victorious.
Ah, man, you're a soldier, a realist. Would you put the nightmares of a foolish woman above Sisera's power? We have to do the fighting, not Deborah.
I'll take my chances. Varric is a great general.
Yes, but I heard from a traveler, from his own lips, mind you, that Sisera's anger is past all bounds. When he's finished with us, he plans to turn his soldiers loose to pillage and burn and kill every living thing. I tell you, it'd be best if this bloody battle were never fought.
I hear that in each of Sisera's chariots, there's an archer with 50 arrows.
They say in each chariot, there's an archer with 60 arrows.
Did you hear? They've got 70 arrows in each chariot.
100 arrows.
It began, and it spread, and soon doubt flowed through the veins of our army. With the doubt came fear. With the fear came despair. And with despair came flight.
What is it, Aaron? More desertions?
200 men during the night from Barak's own tribe.
200?
It's rumored that twice that number will leave today, the Kenites. I can't understand it. Why should this happen? Why should our army melt away on the eve of battle? Everything is ruined.
Perhaps if I went and spoke with the
soldiers
again.
No. You can't build an army's courage with pleasant talk, not even yours, Deborah. Of all the weapons we forged, courage was the strongest, and we've lost that.
Haber and the others will be very interested to learn of our defeat.
Israel's defeat. I can't understand. If only there was some way...
Bring that man in here. Barak!
What's happened? Who is this man?
The source of our infection, Aaron. One of Haber's tribe.
Haber's? But that's impossible.
The camp's crawling with them. Sowing fear and panic, getting our men to surrender before the battle's even begun. Haber and Gilead are behind it all. They wanted to weaken us. I recognized this one and forced the story out of him.
What we did was right. Your puny little army could never have defeated Sisera.
You condemn us for trying to save Israel?
How can you save a nation by destroying it?
We're not destroying it. Israel's being destroyed by Haber and Gilead, and men like them. Frightened men who spend their lives on their knees.